you can live a victorious life where sin is not controlling your life and you're not responding to all of your appetite every time the enemy tries to cause you to be disobedient to God. Yes, you can live a victorious, sinless life. Somebody says, nobody is sinless. I will agree with that, but you ought to be sinning less and less and less. You ought to be getting better at being sinless.
This is Jerry G. Martin. Welcome to the light of the world. Jesus Christ died and was raised up to take away the sin of the world. He came to give us eternal life. I'll be sharing some messages with you to help you to understand how you can overcome and live a victorious life through Jesus Christ. Come and go with us as we walk in the light of God's Word.
There is a question relative to believers and their life and their lifestyle. When you are saved, why do you keep sinning? This is not a new question. It's one that has been asked throughout the history of Christendom. Should we keep sinning? Why do we keep sinning? What about the grace of God and His forgiveness? Because we have become quite adept at knowing that God forgives. Since He forgives, maybe I can just do it one more time. I know that God will what? He'll forgive me. Paul, the apostle, was the foremost authority on salvation and the grace of God. And many of the new Jewish converts did not understand how the grace of God worked. The grace of God is the message that God is good. We just got through singing, God is good, and He's gracious. His favor lasts a lifetime, the scripture tells us. And even when we don't deserve it, He forgives and He forgives and He forgives. Paul shared a fundamental principle of God's saving grace in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 20. As he did his presentation to the Jewish believers and he was talking to them about coming out of the rituals and the statutes and the practices of obeying the law, he said that the law was added so that the trespass, the sin, might increase. The law was added so sin might increase. They were thinking, well, God gave us the commandments so that we can sin more. And he says, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Where sin increased, so grace increased. So just that as sin reigned in death, also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the law was added so that sin might increase. It doesn't make any sense. Why would God give us a command so we can sin more? He didn't say it in that manner. That's not what he meant. God gave us the commandments so that we can sin more. He just said, whenever you have a commandment, you sin more. Let me put it this way. If you have an intersection in your neighborhood with no stop sign, you can go through there without having any problem. But if they come and put a stop sign there, how many of you ever rolled or didn't ever come to a complete stop at a stop sign? You did a Hollywood stop. You know what a Hollywood stop is? You slowed down, but you kept rolling. A cop pulled a man over once and said, you ran that stop sign. I said, I didn't run the stop sign, officer. I slowed down almost to a stop. He said, well, you ran it. He said, well, what's the difference? I slowed down so nobody was here. So the cop pulled his nightstick out and started beating him. He said, now, do you want me to slow down or do you want me to stop? That's the difference between slowing down and stopping. All of us have slowed down almost to a stop, but since the stop sign was there, we sinned. But if it wasn't there, we wouldn't have sinned because there was no stop sign. So where there was no law, there was no sin. The Bible says, well, there's no law, there's no transgression. But now that we have this law, we have a tendency to break the law, so therefore sin increased. There was no sin in the garden until God told Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree. And whenever he tells you not to do something, guess what you want to do? Every time they passed that tree was talking to them. Wonder why he don't want us to eat of this tree. Must be something about that that he doesn't want. But every time you sin, God give you grace. And this concept was good news to those who wanted to follow God, but also wanted to enjoy the sinful lifestyle. What are you telling me now? The more I sin, the more God's going to bless me and with his grace? You mean I could keep doing my thing and God will keep on pouring out his grace upon me? That sounds pretty good. I mean, I can go out and party all Friday and Saturday and then come to church on Sunday morning and just get my grace again and I can keep going just like nothing ever happened. They was doing that back then. I wonder if they're still doing it now. I can sin as much as I want and God will continue to forgive me and continue to pour out his grace upon me was the message. The logic went like this. If salvation is all of God and of grace, and if God is glorified by pouring out his amazing grace, then the more sin, the more grace. Therefore, men should sin to the fullest. Let me get all of God's grace. But Paul, do you mean to tell me that God is willing to forgive a person's sin as often as he commits them? Paul says yes. And then Paul began chapter 6. Verse 1, that's where we're going to focus. So what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. King James, God forbids. And then he tells us, we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? So if I was to put a sermon title to this, I might say, how shall we live in it any longer? The question in this verse is rhetorical. He's just asking it. He already knows the answer, but he's throwing this question out. And he raises them in order that he might introduce the subject of the God-ordained method whereby a saint can live a victorious life over sin. He's saying you can live a victorious life where sin is not controlling your life and you're not responding to all of your appetite every time the enemy tries to cause you to be disobedient to God. The middle section's okay. Everybody else on the sides say, what? Yes, you can live a victorious, sinless life. Somebody says, nobody is sinless. I will agree with that, but you ought to be sinning less and less. Unless you ought to be getting better at being sinless. So what shall we say then? Say then to what? What I told you in 5:20, that God's grace continues to be poured out on you. So what shall we say about that? Here's the first thing I want you to understand. I said it before as we're studying through the book of Romans. When you hear this word sin and it is a noun, it is referring, especially in chapter 6 and 7 and 8, to the sin nature, not to sin activity. The nature of sin that is inherent in every human being, he's talking about that nature of sin. And in Romans chapter 6, Paul is giving us what you can be called the machinery of how sin works and how God has delivered us from sin with the power of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit-filled life. So in chapter 6, Paul is not talking about what kind of life the believer should live, but by what method or how he's going to live. Not what you're going to live. He says, I know what you are, but how are you living? He has this question, shall we continue then, not in sin, put it this way, shall we continue in the sinful nature, with the sinful nature having control? Shall we continue? That word continue means to abide, to remain. It's used in the New Testament of a person abiding in someone's home as a guest. Is the sinful nature going to be still comfortable in the life of the believer where he has control? It has the idea of fellowship. Are you fellowshipping with the sinful nature? A cordial relationship. A dependence upon a social intercourse with the sinful nature. Are you working it that way? Is the sinful nature still comfortable in your life after you've been saved? Paul says, by no means. Here's what he says, and I put it in bold. Here's the essence of the question. Shall we continue habitually to sustain the same relationship to the sinful nature that we sustained before we were saved? A relationship which was most cordial, a relationship in which we were fully yielded to and dependent upon that sinful nature, and all this as a habit of life. That's what he's asking. Are you going to still relate to the sinful nature in your life as a believer as you were as an unbeliever? No. God forbid. By no means. He could say it this way if he was here today. Don't even think about it. How shall we that are dead to sin live in it any longer? How does that happen? He's saying that like it's a physical impossibility. How can a man who's dead to sin live in it any longer? He can't do that. And if you're living in it and you are functioning in it and the sinful nature is controlling your life, guess what? You probably never got saved in the first place. You just had a good feeling. You just had a good idea. You just had a moment where you thought, you know, it would be nice to go to church and get kind of on the Lord's side. I need to be somewhere. I mean, that's like me when I want to work out, and I know I need to work out. I know I need to be healthier. I know I need to exercise. And at the first of the year, I'm like the rest of you. I think I'm going to join a health club. But when it comes to getting up at 5:30 or 6 in the morning, going down there working out, that old sleep nature and that lazy nature and that I'll just eat a little less nature will rise up, and I never go work out, but it was a good idea. And some people even bought the membership and don't go. And that's like buying your membership at church, but your heart's not in it. Nothing's changed. You just got a membership. Paul is saying, no, it's not possible for a believer to function in a sin life continuously because God has done something significant in the life of a believer. God did something when you met him. Amen. Paul tells us that in the inner spiritual and mechanical setup of a Christian, which prevents him from obeying the lust of the sinful nature, God operated on him to break that power of the sinful nature. Two things are the results of a major surgical operation in which God performs on the inner being of every believer. Number one, he breaks the power of indwelling sin. He does it. And then two, not only does he break the power of indwelling sin, he imparts into your life the indwelling Holy Spirit. Not only does he break the power of sin, he gives you another connection. He gives you the power of the Holy Spirit to live on the inside of your life. When Paul said you are dead to sin, he said you are dead to it because God cut the cord. He cut the cord of the sinful nature. Then he said in verse 4 of Romans 6, he said, so that you can have a new life. He said you are dead to sin. Death means separation. Physical death is the separation of a person from his body. Spiritual death is the separation of a person from God. And he said, you are dead to sin. God put out his switchblade and did a surgical procedure on you. He cut the believing sinner loose from the evil nature. The moment you gave your life to God, God cut the cord of that, said, sin have no more control over you. You had an umbilical cord to the sinful nature that kept sustaining you and feeding you all the stuff. While God separated that nature, he didn't take it out of you. He separated it, but he did not remove it. It's like your television. That television will do nothing unless it's plugged into the wall. And God unplugged that. See, a television will bring all kind of things into your life, into your mind, into your heart, and you look at it. So he unplugged it for you and said, you're able to not look at it because I broke the power of that thing. Now, see, before you were saved, you know, the enemy just would bombard you with images and everything else, and you had the remote control. How many of you come in the house sometime, television already on? Somebody else done left it on. And then you just change channel switch, look at everything you want to look at and all that stuff. And they just talk to you. They tell you how to live on TV. All the TV shows tell you how to live, tell your children how to live. Tell them how to talk back to your parents. I ain't never seen no kids get no beat down on TV. They need to show them how to get a beat down. I mean, show the whole story. But when the Lord comes into your life, he breaks the power of that. Don't you know you can plug that back up if you want to? You can plug it back up anytime you get ready, but you don't have to. See, before you got saved, the signals were just coming into you, but God broke the power of that. But you can go back in and turn it on anytime you get ready. The good news is that you don't have to. Our frailty, our weaknesses, will cause a Christian at infrequent intervals to yield to the sinful nature and to sin. But you don't have to. See, before you were saved, you didn't even have a fight with the sinful nature. Before you were saved, you didn't wrestle with the sinful nature. Whatever you wanted to do, that's what you went on and did. You wanted to party, you wanted to drink, you wanted to fight, you wanted to cuss and fuss and steal and fornicate and do all those kind of things. That was just what people do. We're just getting my groove on. What's wrong with you? I'm just doing my thing. That's why folks who are unsaved, when you talk to them, they wonder, well, why are you messing with me? I'm just doing my thing. But they don't know they're not doing their thing. They're doing the devil's thing. They just think it's theirs. That's how slick he is. He'll make you do his thing and think it's yours. Just doing my thing. Ain't your thing. Somebody say, it's my thing. I do what I want to do. You can't tell me who to sock it to. Ain't your thing. You just thought it was yours. If you think it was yours, stop doing it and watch the devil start talking to you. See, once you get saved now, the Holy Spirit on the inside of you begin to contend with you when you keep trying to go down that path. He said, now, you know that ain't right. You don't have the same comfort level. You don't have the same desires. He put another interest, another desire, another appetite in your life when you give your life to Jesus Christ. There's another appetite. If you haven't changed your appetite since you came forward to say you love the Lord, guess what? You probably didn't change leaders. You know, people said, I don't want to lose my friends. I didn't stop hanging out with my friends when I got saved. They stopped hanging out with me. I didn't leave them. They left me. Why? We didn't have that much in common anymore. The conversation didn't last quite as long. It was, hey, how you doing? I said, I'm doing good. How are you? He said, well, I'm all right. I was just checking on you. It wasn't say, hey, man, you holding something? How you rolling tonight? Where is it at? It wasn't all of that. Of course, it's at church. What you holding? A couple of scriptures. There's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. They didn't know, huh? So I had to talk to somebody who knew the language. Talk to somebody and say, yes, praise God, there is no condemnation. I'm free. So I had to start talking to other people. Don't you know that the people who got a certain commonality, we call it the like spirits, they hang together. And there's code words and things that you just throw out there and somebody pick up on it and they know you're in the same vein with them. Say, what you holding? Hey, man, a little something, something, a little something. All right. And we do that as Christians. Well, how are you doing? Somebody say, praise the Lord. You say, well, praise the Lord. Right? And then you're trying to find a little bit more whether or not y'all both got the same kind of spiritual inclinations. Because we got little code words we just throw out there, and then you know where they at. So I didn't lose my friends. I still love them. They're still dear. They're whatever, but we don't hang out together no more. And one of them said, hey, man, you can't go out to the club no more. I said, you know, I can. But I don't have an interest. It doesn't interest me. I can do it. But I don't feel like it. There's no interest. There's no draw. I have more of an interest in the house of God. I got more interest in praise. It's not the Isley Brothers no more. You know, and I'm thinking, boy, it was a good album. But I had to let him go, let him go, let him go. Well. I had to let him go. Why? Because I was listening to worship music. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all still got those Isley Brother album with those jumpsuits on. But I'm trying to tell you, I don't know about you, but when I got saved, something snapped. God broke that sin nature. And I snapped right away. Not only did I know it, but everybody around me knew something had changed. Didn't have the same interest. Couldn't do the same things that I used to do and do it in peace, because the Holy Spirit was contending with me, saying, that's not the way. You died to that. You're dead to that. He said, when you're dead to sin, what happens is when the enemy comes and try to talk to you as a dead man, they get no response from you. So let's go out and do that. A dead man doesn't say, I'm with that. He's dead to that. And the Holy Spirit comes to take up residence to help you. He'll help you to walk right. He'll help you to talk right. And Paul says, how is it possible for such as we who have died off with respect to sin to live in it any longer? How is that possible? What is going on with that? What's up with that? How can the people who say they love God and Jesus Christ is in their life, how can they keep living in sin? That ain't supposed to happen. That's impossible. Something is wrong. Either they have not given their lives to Jesus Christ. That's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. You show me somebody who's still governed by the sinful nature, they were never saved to begin with. The Christian has the same power over the evil nature that he has over his television set. When the enemy tries to bring something in, you just turn it off. Paul gave the instructions in the book of Ephesians, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Be spirit controlled. Some people just think that the Lord wants us to be obedient and to eliminate sin out of our lives, to constrict us, to make us have a boring life. Don't want me to have any fun. I can't do what I used to do. Now listen, I want to tell you that there are benefits to living holy. It's not just, well, while you live in a sinful lifestyle, you need to cut that out. There are benefits to living holy. There are blessings to living holy. God will bless you when you walk upright before him. The Lord God is a sun and shield, and he gives grace and glory to those who walk upright before him. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The scriptures are full. The whole message of this Bible is that when you are obedient, you are blessed. And when you're not, you're cursed.
We have just celebrated the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are people who've never heard the good news that Jesus Christ came to give sinful people a new life and an eternal life. I don't know where you are. You may be just passing through the radio programs, and I want you to know Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those who were lost. He brought hope to the hopeless and help to the helpless. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, it only takes a moment for you to turn your life and your heart toward him and ask him to come into your life to be your Lord and to be your Savior. He will do for you what he's done for many of us. He will change our lives and give us a new start. If you would like to listen to today's message in its entirety, you can do so by going to our podcast at The Light of the World Daily, Jerry G. Martin. You can hear today's message and previous messages that you may have enjoyed, and you can share them with family and friends. I invite you to be our guest at The Light of the World. We meet each Sunday at 16161 Old Humble Road. Come and be our guest, 10 o'clock Sundays at 16161 Old Humble Road. You can join us and enjoy our online service at lowcf.org. Again, that's lowcf.org. We have the Beacon Bookstore right here on our campus, where you can get books, Bibles, church supplies, or communion supplies. Call us at The Beacon, 281-441-2885. Again, that's 281-441-2885. Now, for the Light of the World, this is Jerry G. Martin saying, may the Lord our God richly bless you and we'll be with you again next time.